Well, welcome to week four of Blessed Are the Spiraling. The title today is Secondhand Spiraling. And what I want to do is I want to talk about this message and how to care for someone in crisis without slipping into chaos yourself. And I promise you that by the end of this message, I'm going to offer you some very practical tools that can help if today you are caring for, loving, doing life with, married to, in relationship with someone who is in a season of spiraling. What do you do to help? How can you encourage? How can you bless them? Everybody at some point is going to find themselves in the uncomfortable position of a spiraling season. But it's also going to perhaps find themselves in a season when they're doing okay. They're in a good time. But maybe the person that they love is struggling and not always knowing how to help, how to make a difference. What can I do to make things better? So either you're going to be in the spiral yourself, or you're going to be helping someone else in the spiral, either one or the other, without hopefully getting sucked up in the tornado itself, right? That's the goal, I think. That's right. And I know someone listening might think, man, that's not positive. You're not talking positive. I would say this. No, this is positive. You are going to find yourselves in one of those two situations is the reality of life on this planet, right? It's life. That's accurate. When you think about spiraling seasons in your life, what comes to mind? There's the daily spiral. There's huge spirals. I mean, I look back and I see so many different times where it's like I can pinpoint, okay, that was definitely a spiral in my life. 2020, I think, brought about spirals in everybody's life in some way, shape, or form. It's kind of like what Paul said. Paul said this in the Bible, the other things that come upon me daily. He had been given this list of, I got in a shipwreck, I got beaten with rods, I got stoned by the Jews. Like, those are all pretty big spiraling seasons, right? And that's not even most of the list. And then there's just the other stuff that came upon me daily, just like the normal punch into life, being a human's tough, right? So the point is, we're always in some kind of situation, always in some kind of season. So, to base our time in Scripture, I want to read a Scripture from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 8. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. What a beautiful thought that Paul is saying. Of course I preached in Thessalonica. Of course that's the most important thing, giving Scripture. But he said, I didn't just preach. I also was willing to impart to you my own life. Our own lives. Paul's saying, me and my ministry team, we gave our lives to you. We were living, like the Bible says, living epistles, our life on display, what God had done in us and through us. And I, for one, am so grateful that Paul and others in Scripture were willing to share their spiraling seasons, that Paul was willing to give us his notes, Romans 7. I want to do what I don't do. What I do, I don't want to do. Who shall help me, wretched man that I am. He was in a tornado. He was saying, my flesh, I'm in a battle with. And you're going, wait a minute, Paul. You wrote the book of Romans. You were a major character in the book of Acts. You wrote Ephesians. For crying out loud, you had spiraling season? I think Paul's saying, yeah, I wanted to share not just the gospel with you, but my very own life, my own struggle. Paul also said, it got so bad one time, and this is crazy. He said, it got so bad when I was at Ephesus fighting with savage beasts. And we don't know what that means. Did he fight with real animals? Paul literally says, I fought with savage beasts at Ephesus. Of course, many people think those were not animals. Those were people. But Paul says it got so bad that I despaired of life itself. Now, how bad does it have to get for the guy who wrote Romans 8:28 to not want to live anymore? You want to talk about low. You want to talk about a spiral. Now, why did Paul share that? Because he didn't want to just give the gospel. He wanted to give his own life as well. And there's power in sharing our story. There's power in our testimony. That's how we actually defeat the devil, through the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. Not loving our lives to the end. So there is power in sharing our story. What helps when you're in a spiral season. And I think that something that can be so helpful in the midst of a spiral is just saying things like, it's going to be okay. Saying things like, don't make big decisions in the middle of this storm. Like, let's just keep steady. Steady, steady, steady. It's the nature of someone in a storm to only see the storm, right? Well, sometimes in spiraling, it includes letting myself get overwhelmed by everything. There's an intensity to it at certain times where everything is wrong. Everything feels like it's crashing down on me. Now, it's not always easy to notice. Because we're all just kind of oblivious, maybe sometimes, to other people's struggles. And I'm detecting something, but then when it finally comes, it's particularly you think, oh, I'm going to logic you out of this. But you can't logic your way out of an emotional situation. And I think the times that I've grown and felt like, hey, I felt proud about that, was the times where I've just listened. Haven't tried to fix, haven't tried to tell five ways from Tuesday why that's not the case for this, but just said, oh, that's so hard. I'm so sorry. You're going to get through this. It's going to be okay. Take a shower. Go to sleep. Just to kind of give someone permission. It's okay. You're going to feel better. Go take a shower. Go lie down. It's going to be okay. I think those little things help immensely. So really what I'm saying, if there's something to that, it's the kindness, a presence, the power through relational proximity to be there to say, hey, I'm not going anywhere. You're not alone in this. How you feel is real, because I think it doesn't help to go, that feeling's not real. You're not going to feel that tomorrow. Well, be that as it may, I feel it now. It feels real right now. And so to say, hey, I know this is hard. I know it's bad. So I'm dignifying what you're facing. But then I'm right here with you. No matter what, you're safe. It's okay. And I think even also the post and pre-spiraling conversation and learning and everything is helpful, where we can kind of have the vocabulary and the conversation around what is going on. I feel like that's always helpful too. And it reminds me of what Galatians says, that we are to bear one another's burdens. And in so doing, fulfill the law of Christ. We can bear one another's burdens. I want those of you who are caring for someone in a season of spiraling to know this. You can literally make their burden seem lighter to them, fulfilling the law of Christ, who carried our sins on the cross by taking some part of it. And I want you to know that makes a difference. And I think that there have been those scary moments in the midst of spiraling. And I think the biggest has probably been just fear that we're both spiraling. Now what's going to happen, you know, and our spiral, we have nothing to give. Our spiraling galaxies are about to bang, and it's going to be a big bang in a bad way, in a scary thing. And so I think, you know, I would just imagine for those listening, there's going to be some sense of what do you do when you don't have margin to give and someone else needs. Like, how do we make it through those times? To have tools going into spiraling is helpful. But also, knowing that when you don't have anything else to give, and you're pouring water on the fire, and then all of a sudden, you're like, wait, I don't have any water left. I have nothing to give, and I'm just like, I don't even know. There's no river, there's no creek, there's no little drip of water. I just have nothing to give. And then it's, I feel that desperation and that fear of, okay, so this is just going to all go up in flames because I don't have anything. And I think that this is where God shows up in a way that we never experienced before. Where we have nothing, but God comes in with His strength. And it's just, it puts, when Jesus says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness." We are so weak, but God is here with us. We still choose God. I don't know how we're going to do this. We have that tiny bit of faith. It's like how the Bible says that a tiny smoking flax He won't put out. And it was tiny and it was little. God said, hey, I only have this small bit of oil in my bucket. And you had almost no oil and no flour. And God just said, I'm here. There's nothing. But God said, I'm here. There's no thing. But God said, I'm here. And the oil did not run out. And the flour did not run out. And God showed up in our lack, in our weakness. He became strong yet again. And so I say this to encourage you, that there are going to come moments when you will think to yourself, I'm trying to do, but I just don't know. There's no way. And then God can make a way where there is no way. And His grace is sufficient. Well, you might be today feeling like you have nothing. That you're trying and you have nothing. Nothing to give. And I just want to say, looking back, it seems almost impossible at times, and it's possible. And God is so good for you, and God is so kind, and He's so good to do what might feel impossible. Chapter 85 of this book, Marvel at the Moon. And you can see it's called A Galactic Crash. And there's a picture depicting two galaxies colliding. And it says, what would happen if two galaxies crashed into each other? That's the question you might ask after seeing a recent picture from the Hubble Space Telescope. The picture shows two galaxies that look like they're slamming into each other. The two whirlpool galaxies are called, they give these numbers. Seriously, somebody needs to come up with better names. These two galaxies are, and it goes on to say, they're more like a billion light years away from Earth. And they look, when the picture is taken, like they're about to slam into each other. But they're not actually going to at all, because within the galaxy, you have stars that are so far apart. And so the question is asked, what happens when galaxies crash together? Is there going to be this terrible explosion? And the answer is, well, no. It's not a big crashing sound. Well, there's no sound in space, so go with me. It's a vacuum. But the sound they make crashing in is actually the sound, instead of a whoosh, they would whoosh right past each other. No stars would likely ever touch each other. It would just be everything around it, all the gravitational pull, etc. They would eventually just merge together. And in the process, planets and moons would get moved around, orbits would change, and stars, sometimes even thousands of them, would get born. It's so cool. And here's the actual photo that Hubble took. The coming together, which they're not in this photo, it looks like they are, but they're not. But if they actually were, it wouldn't cause there to be some big explosion at the end of life, right? It would actually cause there to be new life, because things would have to get rearranged. And it looks like a heart. It looks like a heart. Looks like there was going to be this explosion. Great fear of this as you going to work. It's going to be an explosion. And instead, the two spirals, by God's grace, just essentially merge. And new stars got born. And so I speak that over you today. Those of you who are in a season where you feel like you're right up against it. You feel like, I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know what's going to happen. But it feels explosive. But instead, we can say, hey, look, things are going to get rearranged. Things are going to get moved around. But new life's going to come in Jesus' name. As the one who creates and upholds all of the universe with the word of his power is the one holding you. He carried the cross. He spoke every star, and he loves you. The God of wonders beyond our galaxy knows your name. He loves you. He knows the struggle you're in. He knows the person you care for. He loves them more than you. He loves that person you care for who's spiraling so much more than you. And listen, you can't fix them. But you don't need to, because that's not your job, it's God's job. So we speak life. We speak the authority of Jesus.